Thank you, Lord. We want to take this opportunity, Lord, by our singing, by what we hear, by what's the word you've given us in the Bible. We want to fix our eyes on you. So we pray your blessing on each one here. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we thank you. That's good worship. Some of our worship team is away. Dell and Josh, who leads that, and others are down in Nashville. There's a conference there for worship leaders and worship people. So we're trying to get all the help we can. Okay, I'd like to welcome you this morning. My name is Nigel. If you're here the first time, we give you a special welcome. If you're here many times, we still welcome you. Everyone's welcome here. I'm excited. I hope you are too. We began at the very beginning of August. We began this series on Psalms, and we're continuing. And we asked people back then to read, if they could, try to read one psalm a day. And if you're doing that, you should be around Psalm 48. Okay, if you're keeping up. So, if you've fallen a little bit behind, maybe you want to try around 40, and if you double up, you'll catch up with us. If you've not started yet, maybe you should jump in somewhere there. Anyway, we encourage you. This is a great section of the Bible. I appreciate it. What we're on this week, we're going to cover Psalm 40. And next week, I'm excited. Ian is going to share with us. Let me tee up Ian. Come back. You got to come back next week. Ian's got a great message for you. Right, Ian?
Yes.
I'm excited for this message. I'm excited for Ian's message. You know, these are topics that we don't get to cover that much, but by getting into Psalms gives us an opportunity. So, you know, this is good. Okay, so we're on our title for the whole series is Psalms for All Seasons, right? All seasons of life. There's a psalm for you, no matter what your situation, condition, right? No, you know, whatever you, the songs we sang, you know, God, you'll see us through, no matter what we're going through. Maybe some are having very joyful things happen. Some are struggling a little bit through different things. There's something for you in the Psalms. Okay, we come today. We're on the Psalm number 40. Psalm 40, and our title is Testify. One word, testify. Testify. Okay? Let me start off in this way. On the globe, there's a number of bands that are famous, well-known, and there's a particular band had this song. I think we have a picture of them. Some of you will recognize them. Recognize them? Depends what age category you're in. If you're saying, is that the Beatles? You're not, you know, maybe you're my age. That is U2. Bono and U2. They had a song which they sang and was, you know, people would go to their concerts and leave the stadium. You know, thousands of people would leave the stadium singing this song, which is based on Psalm 40. So it goes like this. The lyrics, a little bit repetition, but okay, that's the way the song goes. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? How long, how long, how long, how long to sing this song? That's actually more reflecting another psalm. How long to sing this song? You know, how long, O Lord? He says, he set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. Many will see and hear. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? How long, how long, how long, how long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? You know, I think I was driving my wife crazy this week. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? That's that song. Vizrat's going to come up. She just came in. Okay, so my wife would say, when are you going to learn and memorize another line? How long are you going to sing this song? Okay, it's based on, I filled in for you, Vizrat. So Vizrat is here. She's going to read for us. Let's get you a mic. Vizrat, yeah, it's going to, it's okay, don't worry. Okay, we're going to get you a mic. Vizrat is going to read the original. Are you okay? All right.
Yeah. Good morning.
So, morning.
My name is Vizrat. I'm from Ethiopia. And I'm married to this handsome guy. So it's been 2 years since I came to Canada, so I'm kind of new. I'm still in culture shock. So since I come here, I went to school and studied child development. Then I'm working in a daycare now. And so my husband is not here. I'm kind of alone. I was saved, like I received Jesus as my savior when I was grade 9. Since then, I'm following him. Amen. I'm reading from the Holy Bible, Psalm 41-10. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolated pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. How happy is the man who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord my God, you have done many things. You have done many things, your wonderful works and your plans for us. None can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can told. You do not delight in sacrifice and offering. You open my ears to listen. You do not ask for a whole burnt offering for a sin offering. Then I said, see, I have come. It's written about me in the volume of the scroll. I delighted to do your will. My God, your instructions lives in me. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your fulfillment and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Thank you.
Thank you, Vizra. Yeah, thank you. So Vizrak serves also with the children. That's why she came from the children. She's going back to help serve the children. Okay. Okay, so this is a song. I don't know if you can pick it up. This is a psalm. We read, actually, it's a longer psalm. We read the first half. There's two distinct halves to it. We read the first half, that we've left the second. We're going to focus on the first. Okay? There's a key point here that what God does in our lives, what God does for us, should result in testimony, in our testifying, telling people what God has done for us. Okay, so people, scholars call, you can call this a number of things. Some people say it's a Thanksgiving psalm. It is. It's another kind of psalm. However, it's also a psalm of testimony. The whole thing is actually, this part we read, the whole thing is a testimony Think about it. Somebody, David, is telling us a story. He's giving us an account of what happened to him, what God did for him, and then how he responded to that. And most of it is spent on the last part, how he responded after God did something for him in his life. How did he respond? He found ways to testify, to speak out based on what God had done for him. So it's a psalm of testimony, right? And I think we want to pick up that point. Psalm 40 is a testimony, the whole thing. Okay, let me start out. Let's go this way. The first couple of verses, he recounts in a poetic way his experience. So he says there's waiting and there's deliverance. Three parts to what we're covering today. There's his waiting, number two, God's deliverance, number three, his testimony based on that. Okay, number one, waiting. Verse one says this. Most of us know it. And some of us memorized it, some of us can sing it. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, inclined to me, and heard my prayer. I waited patiently for the Lord. Right? There's a song. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Right? I waited patiently. Are you patient? If you're patient, how about raise your hand? You're a patient person. I don't see any hands. I think all the patient people are very modest. If you say, and if any guys held up their hands, I would say, put your hand down. No guys are patient. My mom taught me, and she was a teacher. She would always tell us, she was a woman. My mom was a woman in a house with four men. Her husband, my father, and three boys. Four males, one female. She would always tell us this. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom in a woman. Never in a man. You get it? Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom in a woman. Never in a man. That was her wisdom. I don't know where she picked it. Probably from her mom. Guys are not patient, period. A lot of ladies are also not patient. So, think about it. If the lesson of this psalm was patient endurance, waiting patiently, stoically, enduring silently. We have a hard time. Actually, I enjoyed this because scholars tell us actually in the original Hebrew there's very little notion of patience. The original Hebrew reads like this. It's waiting, I waited. Waiting, I waited. Notice there's no word patience there. Waiting, I waited. J.I. Packer and others say this. The Hebrew expression is literally, waiting, I waited. The thought is that I kept on waiting. I kept on waiting. Doesn't mean you waited patiently, but you kept on waiting until at last God moved. So if you're not patient, don't throw in the towel. Don't say this psalm's not for me. Let's go to number 41. No, this psalm is for you. So some translations say this. I waited a long time for the eternal God. He knelt down to hear me. He listened to my cry. I waited and waited for the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. The Message says this. That's a modern translation rendering. I waited and waited and waited. I waited and waited and waited for God. At last, finally, at last he looked. Finally, he listened and did something. So the idea actually is not the patience. The idea is I waited And maybe I waited a long time. But ultimately, God came in to do something, right? Okay. And I have another quote along those lines. Yeah, the Hebrew lacks any indication of patience, especially quiet resignation. That is, you just accept your circumstances, wait, don't complain, don't murmur, don't whatever. So much so, the Hebrew lacks that idea of patience. So much so, the Old Testament scholar Luis Alonso Shoko offers, I waited impatiently for the Lord. Are you impatient? If you're impatient, raise your hand. A lot of people don't know whether they're patient or not. Maybe you're equivocating. Okay, if you're impatient, this verse is for you. I waited impatiently for the Lord. Amen? Amen. So guys, this one's for you. Ladies, this one's also for you. I waited, whether patiently or impatiently, I waited, the Lord heard me. He said, so the writer of this psalm felt in a desperate situation. There was a situation, he's in trouble, he's in difficulty, right? He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He brought me from a desolate pit, a horrible pit, out of muddy clay, miry clay. You know, I was in a desperate situation, right? And I waited for the Lord. I called out for the Lord. I'm waiting. Finally, God came in and rescued me, delivered me, right? But I waited. It's not an instant deliverance. It was not an instant rescue. There's a period of time there in difficulty. However, eventually, God came in to rescue him. You know, and I think this is helpful for us. This is not just, we're not just talking about initial salvation. Sometimes in our life, there's a situation. There's something that is bothering us, troubling us, and we want God to do something. We want God to intervene, and we pray to God to intervene, and we have to wait. God's deliverance, God's rescue in his sovereign arrangement is not instant. It's not immediate. We wait. God can and God will intervene, but in his time. Right? So I think, and God brings us out of that. You know, I have another quote from some scholars. I think this is helpful. Because you read the psalm, you can read these verses in a couple of seconds. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my footsteps. He put a new song in my mouth. 10 seconds, you've read it. However, behind those 10 seconds are not 10 seconds. The real experience is not in 10 seconds, not 10 minutes, not 10 hours, not 10 days, maybe not even 10 months. Maybe it's 10 years. It's a longer time. You read it, though, we can get the impression that it's really fast. Here's a quote that may help us with that view. There's always a danger in interpreting the testimony like this, you get the idea, it worked quickly and easily. I read the psalm, David's delivered, he's brought out, it happened. If it's like that for them, why not for me? I was in trouble, I prayed, God delivered, I gave thanks, bang, bang, bang. Yes, you read it, bang, bang, bang. But you live it, it's not bang, bang, bang. It takes time. It's an extended experience. You know, and maybe God is doing something in your life. Maybe you're in difficulty going through something and you're praying. You're praying. But the whole experience is not going to be instant. It's going to be over an extended period of time. But eventually, God will come in. God will deliver you. God will rescue you. Amen? Amen. So, it's not instant, not quick, but it takes time, but it happens, right? God comes in. Okay, that's the waiting. So, you know, in our society, everybody wants instant. You want higher download speed. You want instant this, instant that, instant response. However, experience takes time. Going through situations takes time. Maybe you have some physical difficulty, limitation. The recovery may not be instant. It takes time to go through that. You're facing some situation. You're looking for your job finishes. You're waiting for another job, and you're waiting. You're waiting, and it's not next day. It's not next week. And in fact, you don't know when it's coming. It's an extended period of time. You're praying. You're asking. Ultimately, God comes in, right? David had a situation. He doesn't tell us the details. He describes it poetically. It's obviously it was obviously a severe situation, desperate situation, but God rescued him. He puts it poetically. God brought me up from a desolate pit. I was in the pit. I was in a pit. I was down. I couldn't get out myself. I couldn't get myself out. I was in a pit, a desolate pit. I was in the muddy clay. I was sinking in the mud. Whoa. Right? It's hard to get yourself out of the pit, of the clay. But God rescued me. God brought me out of that pit and put me on the rock. He rescued me. He delivered me out of that. God rescues, you know, and God's, maybe for us, it's not dramatic, but it's real to feel, you know, your life is going downhill. There's some difficulty, something you're struggling with, and you pray, but God comes in to rescue you, to pull you out. That's God's deliverance. You know, that formed the basis for the psalm we're reading, and that became David's story. He brought me out of a pit, out of the miry clay, established my footsteps. He got me on a new path, and he put a new song in my mouth, right? So this psalm is David's story. That's the example. What's your story? What's your story? David has a story. You have a story. If you're a Christian, I have a story, right, that we can tell people, right? Here's a quotation from a songwriter. Her name is Laura Story, and she's asking, so she has a story, obviously. She says, what's your story? Based on this psalm, she asks, what's your story? This is David's. What pit has God pulled you out of? What miry clay is God currently redeeming you from? And do you believe that your personal testimony can be used to bring many to salvation? What's your story? You have a story. I have a story. God can use that story to bring others. David writes, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see and hear and trust in the Lord. He's given me this new song. He's given me something to say, something to sing about. And many will hear. Based on that, that will help them trust in the, bring a response for them to trust in the Lord. I'd like to tell you a little, recount to you a little story of a few minutes. Here's a man. Louis Zamprini, he had a story. He just passed away, 2014, right? Ripe old age, 97, just passed away. Louis Zamprini was a Italian-American, Italian family, American, raised in California. He was athletic. As a young man, he started getting into trouble. He was running away from the police. His brother said, you run real fast. Why don't you pick up track? Put your athletic ability to use. He joined the track team. Eventually, he was on the American Olympic track team in the 1930s, 36. He went to that Olympic Games, 1936. He came back, joined the World War II started when it started. He signed up to serve in the U.S. forces. He was assigned to the Air Force in the Pacific. So he became part of a bomber squadron over the Pacific, right? Okay, he's flying over the Pacific, and he tells us this. He's flying. Eventually, he was a gunner on the aircraft with a crew. That plane came down in the Pacific Ocean. It crashed in the Pacific Ocean. As the plane broke apart and began to sink in the ocean, as it sank, he was going down with the plane, and he was struggling to get out of the wreckage, and his feet were tangled up. And as he's sinking, think about it, he's sinking down in the Pacific Ocean in the water, and he's struggling to get out, and he's saying, God, God, that's when you're desperate. You may not pray other times. You pray, and you mean it. He's praying, God, save me. Save me. If you get me out of this, whatever. I'll serve you. I'll be for you. Okay, he pops up. Suddenly he's free. He rises to the surface of the ocean. He's lived, right? He's alive. He finds a dinghy, a rubber raft. He climbs in. There's a couple other people. Now he's drifting in the Pacific Ocean in the wartime. Few of them. They drifted in the Pacific Ocean for 47 days, close to 7 weeks. They survived on the fish they caught and the rainwater that came. After 47 days, the little raft arrived at an island. That was the Marshall Islands. It's an American territory. However, now an American territory. At that time, it was controlled by the Japanese. So he lived through the sea, and he said, what did you do? What do you do when you're drifting 47 days on a raft? You pray to God. God, if you get me out of this, I'll be for you. Whatever. That's what a lot of prayer for the 47 days. He arrived in the Marshall Islands, found out it's controlled by the Japanese. He was taken to a Japanese prison of war camp during the war. And he suffered, particularly because he was known as an Olympic athlete for the U.S. He suffered more than he was. The end of the war, they were liberated. He went back to the U.S. and he was a war hero, obviously, for good reason. He was a war hero. He was famous. He was, right, he went on radio and all these things. He's a hero. However, based on what he went through, today we would say he was suffering from post-traumatic stress. From all he went through, he was new life, back in America, hero. He met a nice young lady, got married, started a new life. But then things began to fall apart, right? He was getting, every night he had nightmares from what he'd gone through, right? He's struggling. He started drinking to alleviate the stress, and his marriage began to go downhill. He had a first child, but humanly he's falling apart. His marriage is falling apart. Now he was in a desperate situation in the ocean. Now he's in a desperate situation humanly. His life is falling apart. And at that time, his wife said, I can't stay with you, right? We got to separate, divorce. As they're contemplating that, his wife was invited to a gospel crusade by Billy Graham in Los Angeles. She met Jesus Christ. She came back. She told him, Louis, you got to come to this, right? He didn't want to go. Eventually he went, right? And the second night, he felt God was speaking to him, right? He responded to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord, as his Savior, he was delivered. First, he's rescued humanly, physically. Second, then at that time, he remembered. Think about it. When he went back to that crusade, he remembered, yeah, I told God I would serve him. I told God I would be for him. Okay, God has given me this chance. God came through to deliver him from that situation. Then he has a story. That's why ultimately, a couple of years ago, there's a movie. Angelina Jolie made a movie about based on his life, about all the things he went through. There he is, probably half a dozen years ago, right? His telling his story. He has a story, and he began. His life was changed. He said, when I met Jesus Christ, there were no more nightmares. There were no, right? The whole thing of what he'd gone through, the ill treatment he suffered was gone. He could, his heart was changed towards people, and he could forgive people and begin a new life. That was his, he has a story. You have a story. I have a story. It may not be that dramatic. Nobody's going to make a movie out of it. That's okay. You don't have to write a book. You're okay. You have a story. I have a story. That's the point. And our story can be used by God to help others. Amen. All right. And in this psalm, that's the point. That's the point. You know, we go through something, God does something in our life, and then out of that, God wants a response. And we got to find out, God, how, okay, you helped me. Maybe I was sick, you healed me. I was going downhill, emotionally, psychologically, whatever. My life was on the wrong track, but God, you rescued me, you delivered me, you did something in my life. Lord, how should I respond? That's what this part of this psalm is about. How did David respond? Number one, he said, God put a new song in my mouth. That new song is what you're singing, right? Is the words to that new song are this psalm. You put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to my God, right? Maybe some of you can write a song. I can't. Maybe you can write a song that testifies what you went through, what God has done for you, right? You can't write a song, but you can speak, right? You can tell your story. I think that applies to all of it. So in these verses, in this psalm, think about it. I just like to draw your attention to the number of times he talks about speaking. He says, God, you know, I have this new song, and many people will hear and trust in the Lord. Then he says, God, you know, I realize you don't want me to bring animal sacrifices. This is 3,000 years ago. You don't want me to sacrifice a sheep, a goat, or something. You want me to listen to you. I'm listening. How you want me to respond? You don't want burnt offering, meal offering, this, that kind of offering. What do you want? You want me to respond, to obey you. God, how do you want me to respond? A couple of verses later, he says this. I told the glad news of deliverance to the great congregation. I have not restrained my lips, as Lord, you know. I have not hidden your deliverance in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I haven't concealed your steadfast love and faithfulness from the great congregation. Do you get it? Five times he said the same thing, different ways, right? Don't get confused. He's saying the same thing, positively, negatively, this way, that way, the other way, but it's all the same. God, you rescued me, delivered me. How do you want me to respond? I know this. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to praise you, thank you, and I'm going to tell people what happened to me. So he says, I told the glad news. What's the glad news? How you rescued me, how you helped me, how you saved me, changed my life. I told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. That's part of it. Negatively, I've not restrained my lips. I didn't keep quiet. I've not hidden your deliverance in my heart. I didn't keep it a secret. That's the same thing. I didn't keep my mouth shut. I didn't keep it a secret. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I told people negatively. I haven't concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. You get it? He's saying the same thing. I spoke about it. I told people what God did it for me, God did in my life. Amen? He did it. You can do it. I can do it. We all can do it. Tell people what God has done for you. Amen? Right? Maybe it's a small thing. You know, don't think, we're not talking about, you know, necessarily, you know, your initial salvation. What has God done in your life? Even this week, this month, what has God done? Okay, if he's done something, you can tell people. Amen? It's even a little thing. You know, last month, today I can see you all very clearly. A few months ago, you were all in a fog. Why? Because I had cataracts. I had cataracts. So I couldn't see the faces on the back row or the back section. Now I can see them all. Why? Because I had cataract operation. Right? It's, you know, I went in there and they said, you know, they go through this process. They right before the lady said, "Are you nervous?" If you're a guy, you see the other one say, "No, I'm not nervous." She said, "Your blood pressure's up." So there's no point in saying I'm not nervous. You know, and then you can say, "Okay, don't you know, you know, this procedure is 99% successful." Yeah, but if I'm the one, you know, in real life, you're either in the 99 or you're in the one. If you're in the one, it's not 99, right? So, that, you know, did I pray? I prayed. And if you have the operation, I suggest you pray too, right? So I'm in the operation, and if you never had it, let me describe it to you, right? Okay, you're in the operation. You're on a chair, on a table, they lie you back, there's a big bright light. He says, okay, there's a blinking, there's a red light blinking. He says, focus on the red light. Okay, all you got's the one eye, right? Then, okay, they cut open your eye. They're going to take out the lens. They break up the lens, natural lens in your eye and take it out. Sound good? So I'm look at the light. He said, focus on the light. Okay, I focus on the light. Everything becomes cloudy. Then there's a little wave of red, pink. I thought, that's my blood. It was. You know, but I'm praying, Lord, I'm praying for the surgeon, and I'm praying for me. Anyway, it's okay. Praise the Lord. You know, so I came out of that and say, you know, I want to thank the surgeon. He did a great job. I also thank the Lord, right, that the Lord brought me through. So now I can see you all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? So, yeah. Do I appreciate the surgeon? Yes, I do. But I also appreciate God is there. God is in control. I prayed God would guide the surgeon to do the best job. And I prayed God would take care of me. So, which he did. Amen. We have a testimony. We have a story. Okay. In these verses, he sang, based on what good God did, he sang a song. Based on what God did, he spoke the words. Based on what God did, he also wrote something. He sang, he spoke, he wrote. Those are all different ways of telling his story. There's the verse there which says in the middle, sacrifice and offering you've not required. You wanted, gave me an open ear. I listened to you. You don't want this offering, that offering. Now, here I delight to do your will, O God. Here I come with the scroll. I have come with the scroll. With the scroll. What's the scroll? And different scholars say different things. That verse is used in the New Testament in Hebrews to apply to Christ in one way. However, what it means in the New Testament in Hebrews is not the same as what it meant in Psalms. What it means in Psalms is David saying, God, you rescued me, saved me. You don't want, in this occasion, you're not asking me to sacrifice this or that. You want me to tell people, I've sung a song, I've spoken the word, and I've written. Here I am. Here I am with a scroll written what you did for me. I wrote an account recalling what you did to rescue me. Here it is. You get it? That's the scroll for David. He brought the scroll, so I sang it. I spoke it. I wrote it. What God has done for me. In these different ways, he testified because he felt that's what God wanted him to do. That's the response God wanted from David to God's deliverance for him, what God did in his life. What does God want from you? When God does something in your life, you got to ask. Now, yes, I'm grateful. Yes, I thank God. You got to ask, how does God want me to respond? And one way God may well want you to respond is tell it. Tell it. Tell people. Yes, God help you. Maybe sickness situation, work situation, home situation, financial situation, job situation, whatever. God came in and did something in your life. Okay, well, how does God want you to respond? That's what you got to ask. Does he want a song? Does he want you to speak about it? Does he want you to write about it? How does God want you to respond? Right? That is testify. Tell people. If you don't tell people what God did from you, you're not done yet. You get it? If God helped you, saved you, brought you through something, if you've not testified about it, you're not done yet. You got to bring this thing to a conclusion. Tell people. Find a way. Find the way. God wants you to tell it out. Amen? And this psalm, that's the basis. The second half of the psalm is, I'm in trouble again. Maybe it's not the same trouble, different trouble. The second half of the psalm is, I'm in trouble again. God, I need your help again. But David is saying, God, last time in the past you delivered me and I responded. Let me remind you, God, you know. Let me remind you, God, last time you delivered me, I sang about it, I spoke about it, I wrote about it, I wasn't silent, I didn't keep it to myself, I didn't keep it secret, I testified for you. Now, God, I'm in trouble again, so I'm asking you to help. What's his argument with God? What's his reasoning? God, last time I testified, based on that, I'm asking you, that's part of the reason I'm asking you to deliver me again. That's his logic. What's your logic? If you didn't testify, you can't say what David said. If you did testify, then you can. So testify. Amen. That doesn't mean I didn't testify, you're out of it, God's done with you. No, it doesn't mean that. It does mean if you testified last time, you can tell God. God, you know, remember last time? I sang the song. All right, so, amen? Let's testify. So even after this meeting, doesn't mean you know you don't need 500, 200 people. Testify. You don't know what to talk about as we leave this meeting? Ask somebody, what has God done in your life? If God has done something in your life, find somebody to tell him, right? Maybe there's another way for you. You want to paint about it? You want to paint it? You say, that's crazy. Rembrandt painted, his painting is a testimony. When he painted the picture of the prodigal son returning to the father, he put himself in the picture. You get it? The prodigal son returning to the father, he painted a portrait of himself. You get it? What's his message? That's me. I'm the prodigal son. I'm coming back to God the Father. Right? You can paint about it. Sing about it. Speak about it. Write about it. Paint about it. Blog about it. Make a video about it. But do it. Amen? Okay. I think that's good. Can you do it? Yes. Amen. You can. At least you can tell somebody. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Lord, there's a lot of people here. We believe, Lord, you have done many things. You've done many wonderful works in the lives of these folks right here in this room. You've done marvelous things, Lord. And you deserve the praise. You deserve the thanks, Lord. And we want to tell at least some others what God has done in our lives. Lord, we could thank you and testify for you, that they could also learn about you. Lord, so bless us as we go through this week, go through this day. Lord, pray, give us opportunities. Give us a chance to say at least a little bit about you, what you have done in our lives. And we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Bob has an announcement he's going to make, and then we're done. I'm going to remember to come back next week and listen to Ian. Okay.
I appreciate what we heard this morning. All of us heard it. May the Lord grant us mercy to actually do it, because that's where the blessing is. And I find in my personal experience the challenge is what to say, how to say it, who to say it to, when to say it to them. There's lots there. So there's more conversations we need with the Lord before we can actually do what we heard this morning. May the Lord be merciful to us. I will just emphasize one announcement in the bulletin. It's the one about supporting an opportunity to support Greg and Diane Decker's work for the Lord. As you see there, we have an opportunity to support this work which is being done in Asia by Greg and Diane Decker, both in prayer and financially. So as many of you remember, Greg and Diane are the American missionaries who spent a few years with us while Diane did her PhD at U of T. For those of you, though, who are new or don't recall clearly, this couple is associated with Wycliffe Bible Translators. They lived and worked in the Philippines in a remote area for 25 years while they raised their family of four children there. While they were there, they served the local people in a variety of ways, and in particular, they worked with the local people to translate the New Testament into Lubwagan. I knew I could rely on Selena to give me the pronunciation. Anyway, that's the local language. Not many speak it, but this couple spent 25 years of their lives to translate this into a language that a few people could understand. Now, that work finished successfully 2 or 3 years ago. They've continued on with Wycliffe Bible Translators on other tasks, specifically language-oriented projects in Asia with minority groups there. And you can find out more about that work at the wycliffe.org website that's in the bulletin. From there, follow the Find a Missionary link at Wycliffe, and just type in Decker when it prompts you for the missionaries' names. You'll find out all about what they're doing. That's not my main point. My main point, here's the thing, is that this couple was with us, and they continue to be a part of our family at CIT, a part of our community here. And they blessed us very much in many ways while they were here. 30 to 50 sisters remember a retreat weekend that Diane led. It was pivotal here in the church. Anyway, now they're doing the Lord's work in other ways, ways that we can't do, but we can join them in this work in a real way by standing with them, supporting them financially and in prayer, both. So this is a blessed opportunity, and please consider supporting them. Now, there's two ways you can do that. One is you can go to the webpage when you find them on the Wycliffe site, and there's a donate button there, and you can do that all through Wycliffe. Nothing to do with us. The money will go to them. That's wonderful. There is another way, and that is that you can offer to them, to their work, through CIT. There's the couple. There's the give button there. But if you don't want to do it that way, you can do it through CIT. If you donate cash or a check, you'll probably use one of these envelopes. Just write Decker on the name. That donation will go to them. If you use our website, citchurchintoronto.com, and you hit donate, when you do it there, put in your amount, but in the message for the church, which is a block, field right after the amount, just put in Decker, D-E-K-K-E-R, and that money will go to the Deckers as well. Either way, there are two advantages to doing it through CIT. Number one, CIT will match any donations you make. We don't know about the ones through that website. We will know about the ones through the CIT website. So if you do it through us, we will match it. And secondly, and maybe even more importantly, it allows us to support them together as a community for our mutual encouragement. So there's some advantages that way. One final reminder is if you choose to support the Deckers, as with other of these kinds of things, your donation for their work should be separate from your donations for support of CIT, over and above your usual donation, just so you can continue to be faithful to the community you are a part of here. If you have any questions, please see me. Thank you for your patience. We will be back next week, same time, 9:30 downstairs for the Lord's table, 10 o'clock for class here, 11 o'clock for this session. Thank you very much. May God bless you.